Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to this very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this afternoon and running the board for us is my good buddy and co-host, Michael Lauer. How you doing, man?
Doing well today, Stone. I'm excited about this group of kids we have in here. They got a great thing going on. I'm ready to dive in.
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. This group is with an organization called Working Together for Change. We have a studio full, and as I understand it, even one on the way. So if you hear the door crack during the broadcast, that's what that's about. But without further ado, let's introduce one of the ringleaders here. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Aditya Sood. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm Aditya. My brother and I actually started this organization together when we saw some negative reactions towards a few homeless people when we were outside of Target. And so what we just wanted to do was raise awareness about the issue, and then we ended up deciding that we wanted to end homelessness entirely. So here I have a few of our team members. I have Suchethis over here.
Yeah, hi, I'm Suchethis. I'm 12 years old, and I'm in 7th grade. I joined because, well, there are lots of homeless people out there, and they're going through so much pain, and I figured that WTFC, Working Together for Change, would be the best way to end it.
Now, I got to ask, who came up with that name, Working Together for Change?
The name was actually an interesting bit. My brother and I were trying to figure out what to call it, and we went through a bunch of different random names, and what we ended up deciding to do was, what's something that we can go after that actually describes what we do without constricting us to a certain group? So we decided that we're definitely going to be working. There's not going to be any fooling around here. We wanted to get our business done. And then we wanted to end up changing what was the current situation because really, currently, everyone thinks that homeless people are essentially invisible. It's a problem that no one wants to deal with. So we wanted to work together for change.
Now, is it a bigger problem in your experience here in Atlanta than it is in some other metro areas? Or how do we compare, or do you know, to, say, a San Francisco or a New York or a Los Angeles?
Colorado's pretty bad, too. Or is it like Denver, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, actually, San Francisco is one of the other areas that are just as bad as Atlanta. Atlanta's at least more welcoming than places like Hawaii. For example, the senator in Hawaii goes around with a jackhammer, and he smashes the carts of homeless people where they keep their stuff, or if they're sleeping. And in Los Angeles, they play sirens if someone is sleeping on the streets. So we're a little bit more friendly than that. So that's why there's a little bit larger number of homeless people here. But yeah, we actually have a chapter opening up in San Francisco because of the larger increasing income inequality there. So,
and one of our guests this afternoon, I think, is far and beyond more attractive than the balance of the room. Let's get her introduced.
Thank you. I'm Aru. I'm in the 8th grade, and I joined because I want to speak up for the kids in my age group. So, because not many people hear from the 13-year-olds, because we kind of don't have a voice. So I just thought WTFC would be a great way to, speak up.
Get the word out, right.
Yeah. Sure.
So what was the first thing that attracted you to the group? Was this a cause or a problem that you really already identified with before this came to your attention? Or was this like, wow, now you've really opened my eyes?
Actually, no, because I have been to India before. And traveling to India is once-in-a-lifetime experience because you see there's so many different areas in India. And there's so many different there's so many different classes in India, and the most dominant one is the poor people. And I really just, seeing that, I never really thought that it would be that bad here also. But doing things that we do in WTFC made me really realize that, this is actually a problem here, We come from India to the U.S. to have a better lifestyle, and we never realized that there's stuff that's going on here that is going on in there too, that we run away from. So, yeah.
So, I think a common misconception is that if you're homeless, it's kind of like your fault. I mean, how do you battle these kind of stigmas and conceptions? I mean, that's the first line that you guys have to deal with, right?
That is the first line we have to deal with. It's like, these guys don't work. It's their fault that they're out here. Why are you trying
to
help them?
Get a job, man.
Right? Get a job. Yeah, that is the first sentence. Is get a job, right? But now think about it. If you're homeless, if you're living on the streets and you have to get a job, you have to somewhere have a place to keep your belongings and stuff like that. So you have to make sure none of your stuff's going to be stolen while you're gone. You also have to have a car so that you can get to your job and back to wherever shelter you're staying at and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things that contribute. And what we noticed is that most of the homeless people that we've reached out to, they all have jobs. Forget jobs. They have two or three jobs, and they're still homeless. And so one of the three pillars – we have three pillars that guide our organization, and the first of the three pillars is the immersion programs. Actually, I think Suchetas has stuff to say about that.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, one of the biggest issues about homelessness is that nobody really knows it's there, you know? I mean, just like Aru said, it's nobody really sees that in America. Everybody thinks it's in, you know, Asian countries, which are not as developed. And people always think that, oh, he's homeless because he doesn't want to work, or he's homeless because he's lazy. But it's really not that way. And so that's why we created immersion programs. These immersion programs are designed to make a more realistic and truthful picture. We've set up several immersion programs where we experience various aspects of homelessness. Examples of such programs are our Backpackathon program and Pen Pal programs. The former is targeted to older kids taking backpacks and meeting the homelessness face-to-face and talking to them.
So this is what you mean by immersion is you're letting me, who, I got to be honest with you, homelessness is pretty darn invisible to me. I live in East Cobb.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, it's I almost never see it. The only time I even come across it at all is when I go downtown for a business meeting. So this is helping somebody like me or my kids really see on a day-to-day basis that's what you mean.
Yeah, so it's to raise awareness because not that many people really think it's there. It's like you said, it's invisible. Nobody sees it.
Is the same true for you? Live out?
Yeah, I live up in Alpharetta. I don't see a whole lot of it. And I'm guilty as everyone else. When I see it, I ignore it. So, I mean, I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, so here's an interesting...
So, yeah, that's totally true.
Here's an interesting fact for you. At Alpharetta High School, I'm sure you've heard of it if you live in Alpharetta.
Sure.
So it's like an average public high school. And we go there, and because Alpharetta is actually a suburban, relatively wealthy neighborhood, we think that homelessness just isn't an issue there. But if you go to the high schools, there's around 1,000 kids in Alpharetta alone that are, like, homeless. 1,000 people.
Wow.
So how do you define homeless?
There's a few hundred. If you're homeless.
Are they living in a box or like what?
So typically what we think of as homelessness is chronic homelessness. And chronic homelessness only affects 15% of the people that are homeless. Now, chronic homelessness is what you guys imagine as homeless, as in, like, you're sleeping on the streets outside and you've been homeless for, like, the past 15 years, per se. But the most, like, the majority of people... The 85% that are not chronically homeless, these are the people who have just lost their jobs and are just living in their cousin's basement for like a few weeks or something like that, just until they can get out of a tough spot.
Get on their feet again, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is why we think that it's a problem that we can so easily solve, because if they're just off the streets for a few weeks, we can easily get them back on their feet.
I want to bring one guy into the conversation here who's sitting here. Hasn't had a chance to speak up yet. Mr. Arshopia, how you doing, man?
My name is Arsh. I'm in
Arsh,
11th
okay.
grade, yeah. And I joined this program because I actually did a program prior to this. It was a business program called TYE. And in TYE, we made our own product and we, you know, had to pitch it to investors. And our product aimed to help people that were not only homeless, but also people that like didn't have access to, you know, supplies and stuff. And when we did research about like people that were homeless and people that needed to get back on their feet, we realized that, you know, this is like a problem that we really want to address. And so I think that's where I realized that I want to get into WTFC and like start up with this organization.
All right. So we talked about immersion a moment ago, and I kind of cut you off. So I'm anxious to hear a little bit more about that. But I'm also interested to hear what are the strategies? I mean, can it really be fixed? And what are some other strategies that we're taking to try to get our arms around this problem?
Well, I mean, we have backpackathons. These are certain programs that we have, immersion programs that we have, which are backpackathons and pen pal programs. So a backpackathon, I know Arsh actually has more on that.
Yeah, we actually did a backpackathon near College Park. It's essentially a drive where we collect things like clothes, socks, t-shirts, food, water, things like crackers, and we throw in a book, because it's like those are things that we take for granted every day, but those are things that people that are homeless don't have access to. So what we do is we take those supplies and we put them in a backpack, something, you know, that we take to school every day, and then we go down and we go to people that we think that need these backpacks, and we give it to them, and then we talk to them about, you know, their lives. And one of the most interesting stories we talked to this lady who had a medical degree, and she was like living out on the streets.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
An MD, and yeah. She's homeless.
Yeah, she showed it to us, actually. It was
yeah,
amazing.
She had her...
Wow.
Her,
how does that happen?
I guess. It's,
well, her reason was that her brother had recently died, and she was, like, really depressed about it, so she quit her job, and she, like, lost her family because her brother was her only family, and she was, like, she, like, slipped into depression and lost her job, and so... I guess the point of that is that, like, homelessness doesn't just stem from laziness, like we've been talking about. It's like something that anyone that can happen to anyone for any cause.
Yeah. Are most of us maybe a lot closer to homelessness than we realize? I mean, especially if you don't have a certain number of financial disciplines. I mean, a lot of folks that in my circle of friends live pay to check to paycheck.
I'm pretty close to homeless.
I mean, seriously, like you're four. I know you well enough to know you have quite a really nice support system.
Right,
but
right,
let's
right.
say you didn't have your immediate family, and neither did Tess. And you and Tess have nice jobs, but if one or both of you lost your job,
right? If I got hurt and she, you know,
I mean,
got
we're
fired
a lot closer
whatever,
to
right.
this trap than we realize sometimes, right?
It is can that, happen pretty true? Quick.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've heard stories about like you know we've heard stories where it's happened really quickly, and we've heard stories where it's happening very slowly. Another story we heard was we were talking to a man who had walked to Atlanta from Pennsylvania because, again, in Pennsylvania, it's a little bit harsher there, too.
And well, yeah, if you're going to be homeless, you ought to at least come south. Yeah. I mean,
it's freezing up there. And no, but he had two jobs, and he lost both of his jobs because he got paralyzed from the waist down. And because he was one of those people living from paycheck to paycheck, just as soon as that happened, as soon as he was out of a job, he was out of a home.
Forget it, right.
All right. And then we also heard some longer stories. We've heard some, I don't know, I think one of my favorite stories is a story about Marcus. And he is a homeless man who we met down in College Park as well. We do these backpackathons pretty relatively. But so
how often do you do them?
We typically do them once or twice a month or every 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
Yeah.
When we went down, you know, it snowed in Atlanta like this January. It was pretty bad.
I was homeless that night. I had to walk to my partner.
I was too. House. I had to walk. We had to walk back to our apartment. Yeah.
But we were down there. And so we come down with backpacks and we gave one out to Marcus. And he was one of the people that was more hesitant to talk to us. And so after giving the backpacks out, he really opened up and he's like, you know, to be honest, you guys say you come back, but I don't think you guys will be coming back because we have a lot of these groups that come down here. But when we came back the next month, he recognized us by name and he like called me down. And he was like, hey. And so we were like, oh, do you want another backpack? And he's like, no, not at all. I just wanted to come talk to you guys for a little and introduce you to some of my other friends who are definitely going to be needing backpacks more than me because I already got my fair share last time around. And so there's stories like these that really touch you. And so, yeah, that's why we do the backpackathon. But we also have two other pillars that we can get to a little bit later.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go on to pillar number two.
All right, medical pillars. Oh, you, or you want to do that?
That's your cue. You're the medical pillar.
Yeah, but, you're the medical expert.
But she's as a pretty you're getting one your thoughts together on the medical pillar, to me, what I find touching is that you're not just throwing backpacks out of the back of a van and driving.
No.
You guys are stopping. You're engaging these people. You're having conversations. I got to believe that these folks must be as starved for human interaction and intellectually stimulating conversation and just the idea that someone really cares as much as anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, our second pillar, which we call the medical initiative pillar, aims to educate the homeless about common medical issues that we provide support through regular medical checkups. Like we went to this medical fair and we gave, underprivileged children some, BMI. We told them their BMI, and we did eye tests.
You're not going to do BMI this afternoon, are you? I don't.
Because no. we'd end the interview like that. It'd be over.
Yeah,
can't do that live.
We run health fairs and medical camps at least once per quarter in various locations throughout Georgia. In medical camps, we regularly provide blood pressure checkups, you know, cholesterol, and we do HIV testing and dental checkups and breast cancer tests. In health fairs, we bring doctors to give seminars in preventing cares, managing stress, getting access to hospital, and general life-saving tips. We've done 4 medical camps this year.
Well, and so funding? Who's footing the bill for all this? It's you, right?
Yes.
Are you the one funding all this?
I wish I had that much money, but no.
No, well, so far we've been blessed to have doctors that are coming to volunteer their time out with us. So typically we just get doctors to do these general checkups. And they
but not
do
homeless ones, right?
No.
Typically not.
I don't think
they'd
ever be homeless if they're homeless.
Nah, and then sometimes we get lucky and we have Morehouse or Mercer School of Medicine or Georgia PCOM, and they all come down and they volunteer their time and some of their supplies to do these checks with us.
That's awesome. You have some good partners. That's cool.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask everybody this question. I'm going to start with you. What's your favorite part about all this? What have you enjoyed the most?
I think my favorite part is getting to talk to these people. Because when you think about charity organizations, you think about people going out and, you know, helping them. But you never think about someone talking to somebody that doesn't have a home and talking to them about their life. And I think it's really interesting to talk about, you know, what experiences they've shared. Like the guy Marcus we were talking to, he gave me a nickname. My nickname was Genius. And
I like that.
It's a good nickname.
It's a lot easier to pronounce, you know, for some of us Westerners too. You know,
my nickname's on the opposite end of that spectrum.
But yeah, and it was really interesting because he gave us advice about school and things like that. Because he, you know, he's gone through this, he's had experiences, and he was able to share that with us, which I think was my favorite part.
How about you? What
well,
do you like?
I mean, I agree with Arsh right here too, and I also like to see how they. How they've been through all of this and yet managed to kind of stay upright, hopeful that one day they'll get out of all of this. And it's really amazing how they're able to. I mean, I there are no words to describe it. I'm speechless. I really, really think these people are heroes, just standing in front of us, going through all of this, and yet we're always like, well, I want this toy too, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that. They don't have all that. They're just scrounging for basic needs, and yet they manage to stay happy, and it's really interesting to hear their experiences and what they've done throughout their life.
Do you actually, you find them from time to time expressing happiness? Because I think that would be incredibly inspiring to see. It would put things in a very different perspective. Like, even if a little something goes wrong today, you think back on one of those interactions, huh?
Yeah. I mean, well, so we did actually, we had a medical fair in Macon. And so there were some homeless people who showed up, and they were really grateful when we gave them food bags. And they didn't come all grumpy, sad, and depressed. They came, they had smiles on their faces, walked in with a very sunny mood, and it was really nice to see the smiles on their faces once we started helping them. It was really good.
How about you? What do you like the best so far?
I think they're kind of my motivation in life. They kind of motivate me to stay, to stay happy and to never give up, because that's what they do in life. And I think that's something that everyone should do. And, you know, just hearing what they go through and still, you know, as both of them already said, their smiles, their sunny attitude. I just think that that's something everyone should have through life, through anything, any tragedy, anything. I mean, they're just my motivation. They're really my motivation.
So I get one of the nicest things you must enjoy just hanging out with this group. I want to find out what you enjoy the most, but then I also want to dive into how you guys work together.
Yeah, definitely.
But first, what were the high spots for
you? I think, well, Arsh did my main one. I think he had a really nice way to sum it up. He was like, I think that the best part of this organization is that we like to give a hand up, not a hand out. So it's the fact that they're going down to meet these people and the fact that they're trying to interact rather than just give a handout is what really is, I think, the best part of this organization. But I think what I liked the best about just starting this whole organization in general was the community itself. When we came in and we were like, all right, this is what we want to do. If this was corporate, then they'd be like, oh, we're already doing that. No, we're competition. We're not helping you out. But in the nonprofit world, it's like, oh, here's 17 different people that can get you 17 different things so that you don't have to worry about the money to be able to fund these hepatitis C shots, or you don't have to be able to do any of that. Here's United Way. You can just join their board of Regional Commission on Homelessness and become an advisor so you can help us and give out on marketing and stuff like that. And everyone's just connecting everyone else so that everyone can make a better life for the people that they're trying to help.
That is an interesting point. So you work with a lot of other nonprofits as well?
Yeah, we're definitely help, and we're helped by a lot of other nonprofits. Just as soon as we started getting help, we realized that there was some stuff we could do too. We're the millennial generation. We're in love with our technology, so we're able to help out with all of that. Twitter, Facebook, all those campaigns, even Photoshop, so the video making and website making, we're always willing to give a hand to the nonprofits that need that. So whenever we're seeing a nonprofit and they're like, oh, we need help with our website, I'm like, I got you. I can be
three backpacks. is that your fee structures and backpacks?
Backpacks and like, yeah, you got doctors to give me.
So is this the core team right here? Tell me a little bit about the structure of this organization working together for change.
So as far as core team, we're willing to take in anyone that wants to put in, so long as they're showing initiative, so long as they're showing a true interest in helping out the homeless. We're like, you're definitely on board. Events, everyone's welcome to volunteer at, of course. Then what we like to do is the people that are coming repetitively, like people that are consistently there, taking initiative, or like they're like, hey, this is an event that we could go to, or hey, these are some people we could partner with. We like to put them up and give them their chance at spotlight as well. And we're getting lucky because now we're getting some traction across the country. We actually have some chapters opening. We had first chapter was opening up in Macon, but now we're growing. Now we even have chapters in Silicon Valley, and we have one opening up in San Francisco, like I was mentioning earlier. Yeah. So we're having fun.
How many do you have?
I think we have three or four at this moment now.
That's great.
We're trying to put studios all over the country. We should put this guy in charge of building our studio network.
We
got like one in North Carolina. We need somebody like you to help us get all these studios everywhere.
Nah, but it's been a lot of fun working because, I mean, like, just the kids, the group of kids here, like, for example, like, two of the kids here are 12 years old, and you wouldn't even know it if you weren't, like, standing and looking at them. Because they're so into it, and they're talking so well and eloquently that it's a delight to work with them.
Yeah, I'll bet that it is. So tell me a little bit about future objectives, long-term goals. Have you guys put some thought into that?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely looking to expand, of course. I mean, who wouldn't want to help more than we already are doing now? But I think that's pretty much it. Because I think, you know, going forward, making WTFC international from just being national. And not only WTFC, but also others that have the same idea. You know, I think it's really important that other people do something in their while they're in their free time. You know, do something like WTFC. You know, go out, help out. You know, in a free day. You know, just have a couple backpacks laying around. You know, just go to downtown and you know give them, and they'll be really happy.
We've been talking to some people in Puerto Rico, and we're actually going down. The San Francisco chapter is going down to build houses in Tijuana, Mexico, for some of the homeless people there.
This thing is a real deal.
We're trying to grow up, and we're growing pretty quickly, and we want to start doing more medical fairs. We actually have a couple of different pretty major events coming up. We have a sleep out, so we've worked with some of the kids at Emory University, Georgia Tech, UGA, but also high schoolers and middle schoolers, and we're all going to gather together at Kennesaw State University for a sleep out, and this is going to be November, so it's going to be cold. Yeah, it's a culture shock. It's like,
More of that immersion you've been working on.
Exactly, immersion. Yeah, so we're going to get
baptism
them
by fire, if I ever
saw. Yeah, no, my favorite part is we're going to get the police, and the police are going to be on the outside of the campus so that we're safe, but they're going to be treating us as if we were homeless. So we have to be tagged in, and they're going to be treating you as if, like, if you're sleeping on the street and you stay somewhere too long, they're going to wake you up, and they're going to push you around. And
oh, interesting.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be quite
how do people sign up for that?
Everyone's invited.
If you want to go to the website, that's workingtogetherforchange.com, and just click on upcoming events. You can just register right there, and we'll keep you updated. It'll be really fun. We're looking forward to a huge attendance there. Last time we got around 500 people. So
yeah, that's cool. So I want to take a second here and visit with the co-founder of Working Together for Change. We have with us Mr. Natish. How you doing, man?
Good.
So we've kind of gone over the first two pillars with everybody else, but if you could quickly let us know what the third pillar is.
So at WTFC, we try to end homelessness not through only one angle, because we know it's not a problem that can be solved through one approach. We try to do it through all angles. So our third pillar is called social entrepreneurship. In this platform, we will attend social entrepreneurship forums, which are unique platforms where we will interact with other businesses, nonprofits, and even successful entrepreneurs to create either businesses to help homelessness or help sustain businesses that homelessness have created.
What are some businesses you're currently working with?
Sure. So actually, we've recently worked with an organization called Stand Up for Kids, which is an organization dedicated to helping homeless teenagers. Recently, we created a brochure and advertisements for them so that they can get word out and get donations and other business financial support to continue to sustain their business.
That's some great stuff, man. It sounds like you're pretty excited about it.
Definitely.
So what do you guys need? What do you guys need more of?
Well,
I mean, you need volunteers. I'm sure you need some volunteers too, right? Right.
So right now, what we're looking at is obviously we need expertise. So these doctors are always something that we're looking for. So we're always looking for doctors. We're always looking for volunteers. Again, this is a student-led organization. So if you have kids or if you're out there listening and you are a kid, you want to come join us, that's great because we have lots of different organizations that are now approaching us. And again, we are not 501c3, so any money is always appreciated because we're starting to get bills. Starting to get the bills pile up for the food that we're giving out. And we're like, uh-oh, we have to pay for it too, or we might join the crowd we're helping.
Now, you guys got on our radar because of your association with Thai Atlanta. So tell us a little bit about that connection. And was it you that mentioned you were involved in the TYE group? So tell us a little bit about that connection, if you would.
So Arsh and I were both actually in TYE Atlanta. He can tell you about his project. And then.
So I was talking about earlier, the motivation for me to join this organization was TYE and the product that we did. The product that we did was sort of a flameless chemical microwave, essentially. It was a bag that would heat up food and provide warm, nourishable food for people that didn't have access to facilities like that. We talked to people in the Red Cross, the military. We actually had a meeting with the Pentagon, which was really cool.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, but so these like that product allowed me to like look at the homeless people and research about like these problems that people are facing, and I thought that was like the basis point for when I wanted to like work with this organization.
See, now I always thought, and maybe you're my guy, that water must be very heavy to transport. Mm-hmm. It must be a very laborious thing to do to get water to troops, to people, and all that. Can we not like have little bags of hydrogen and oxygen? And then like and transport them and then somehow mix them together when it's time to have a drink? Is that
actually we had the way that our bag worked was sort of like that. There was a process where we would take liquids and you'd press a button on a pack and the liquids would turn into like a solid and exert heat. So I think that maybe we could, you know.
You're not dismissing this out of hand like the rest of my family.
Or coworkers.
I usually get laughed out of the room when I mention this, but it makes sense, right? Hydrogen.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically it could work.
Nah, but TYE has been good to us because we were able to learn the business approach and make sure. That's how my brother and I were able to start this, actually, and figure out the paperwork and make sure we registered and all that. We're actually working with TYE. We wanted to give back to them. So we're working with the Fulton County Homeless Liaison, and some of the social workers in Fulton County are trying to get some of the kids that are at risk of becoming homeless entered into this TYE program because it's such a great educational opportunity. So we've been working with them, and we've been able to get this number isn't set in stone, so don't quote me on this, but we're able to get around 10 scholarships so that the kids can get into the program and they can learn and they can know how to run their own business so that they're more likely to stay in school and they're more likely to like not give up completely yet.
So do you guys show up in force in these T-shirts? For our listeners who can't see this, obviously, the whole team has these great-looking T-shirts that says working together for a change. Do you suit up when you go out?
Yeah, this is our armor.
And they recognize you when you come?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We're starting to make a presence, so whenever we show up, there's always like a horde of like 20 or 30 teenagers all saying working together for change. It's good because we get questions asked, and it's the best way to grow, and it's organic growth, so it's good for us.
So what's this I hear about Fun Fridays? Today we're doing this broadcast on a Friday, so it's as good a time as any to ask that question.
Yeah, actually, Fun Fridays is a program that WTFC has created. And so what happens is we go to a transitional housing center, such as one that we're partnered with, such as Rainbow Village, which is one in Norcross. But we go there and we play with the kids for a few hours. And really what it's meant for is so that the kids can feel like they're a normal kid, not that they're homeless, not that they're going through everything that happens in their daily lives. But like they can feel like one of those kids, like, oh, I want to get that home run in baseball. I want to make that 3-point win shot in basketball, and so it really makes the kids feel great. They really enjoy it, and that's just one program for the kids.
Yeah, we've actually had astounding results in all three of our pillars. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So this is one of them. So this falls under immersion pillar, and so. This year alone, I think that what we've done is we've introduced around 200 different kids and their parents into various programs that we do. They've either volunteered or we're working with them, or we've volunteered to help them. We've volunteered almost 1,000 community hours into the various programs that we do, and we've I think through our backpackathons, we've distributed almost 200 bags now in this year alone. And so these are some of the things we've done. Yeah. Now, and before the pen pal program that we used to do, used to set up elementary schools in Georgia with transitional housing here. But now that we've expanded, we have some kids in California, and they mail the letters to the transitional housing centers here. Cool. And for those of you guys that don't know, transitional housing centers, or at least the ones we work with, are housing for people that have just run away from home or are homeless at the moment. Typically, they involve moms and children, and these are people that are from that are coming from families of domestic abuse or violence or stuff like that. And so this is just a way for us to help out. And yeah. Our medical initiatives have also launched pretty well. We've done two medical fairs, and we have two coming up. And we're, I think, expecting to have served almost 1,000 homeless people by the end of this year, so medically.
You guys are keeping score, which is probably
which is smart.
Well, yeah. It is smart because it's probably one of the reasons that you're actually getting some tangible.
We want, we have tangible goals for ourselves. So by the time we finish, we're able to check mark that box and say yes, we did that. And that way we're able to go to other people and we're like, hey, if you want to start this, this is what we've done and this is how we'll be able to help you. And it's, yeah.
Well, before we wrap, I want to make sure that we get some coordinates and information on any near-term events and make sure that we let our listeners know where they can reach out and have a conversation with one of you folks or get to a website for information. And we got to have you guys back. I mean, I want you guys to come back from time to time and just kind of get us caught up on what's going on with your efforts.
Yeah, we would love to come back.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think it would be fun maybe to interview like one of the doctors and maybe
our
sponsors who are helping you fund some of this stuff. I'd like to do this on kind of a regular rhythm.
Yeah, definitely. This would be amazing. This is really cool to be on a radio show where kids and we're like, uh-oh.
It beats the heck out of working, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's do that. Website, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys want to reach out to us, the best way to get information about us is our website. That's www.workingtogetherforchange.com. If you're into social media, we have a Twitter. That's WTFC_org. So you just reach us. Or we have YouTube account, Working Together for Change. Instagram account, also Working Together for Change.
Sure known.
Facebook is also Working Together for Change. That's the name of our organization if you haven't figured it out yet. But yeah, and if you want to email us, it's WTFC.org@gmail.com. Yeah, just shoot us an email. You can our email is on the website as well. It's WorkingTogetherForChange.com. So if you want to get caught up on our events, yeah, it's all there.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you all in the studio, and we're quite sincere with that. We're going to have you back and get caught up from time to time. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been a wonderful experience.
Until next,
amazing.
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Michael Lauer, our guest today from Working Together for Change, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.